From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. It is June 17th, 2008. We're on episode 73, and we are back in action again. My name is Joe Bibby.
My name is Ryan Necessary.
And after a couple of weeks off, we are back together to give you the angry.
Yes, so, I'm pretty angry today.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of weeks. We've both been working pretty hard, working a lot of overtime, so we just did not have time to record. But that's okay, because we're back.
Yes.
And some big news while we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something about some phone got released.
More iPhone news. Yay. Subsidized. Cheaper, better, faster.
Yeah. So, summary, it's got GPS. It's 3G. It's a lot cheaper. And it comes out on the 11th. So, that's... I know I'm going to be getting one either that day or shortly thereafter, so that's good. It's good.
Yeah. I went back and forth on this, and then I did the numbers, and it's only like $50 more a year than my current phone. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they did increase the data plans for the 3G version by $10 a month, and it now lines up with every other data plan they offer. So the special iPhone data plan is no longer around, which is fine.
Yeah,
seems fair. And the only weird thing they're doing with it, part of the SDK is that they're not letting people create turn by turn navigation software.
Right.
And I don't know what somebody noticed that it's actually word for word the same EULA that goes along with Google Maps SDK. So it could either just be something like that where they actually don't care, or it could be, you know, Apple's finally bowing to AT&T, and AT&T is going to release their crappy turn-by-turn system for it. Time will tell on that. But you will get, you know, close to turn-by-turn navigation with Google Maps already. You can get a route, and it'll follow you along the route. So, whatever. Either way, it's iPhone. We had to cover it because I talk about it so much that I had to talk about that it got announced. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm glad I waited. And the only thing I'm going to want on there that I haven't heard anything about yet is an SSH client. So,
yeah, you have to get another smartphone if you want to do that.
Well, even my smartphone. No, you could write an SSH client for it pretty easily.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if one is on the App Store. If not, I'll just unlock mine and use one that is already out there. There's already one for unlocked phones, so not a big deal.
So was it today that Firefox 3 is out?
It is today. Okay. Firefox 3 released to the masses.
Nice.
They were pushing for what, major downloads. They're trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for downloads. The site was down half the day, so I'm not sure they're going to make it. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign for the record, but as everyone who's been listening knows, I've been using the beta for a while now, and the release candidates as they've come out, finally all of my plugins have caught up. So that's a good thing, and it's significantly faster, as we covered previously. The new version is even better, lower memory footprint, so overall a good thing. I don't know if you've had a chance to check it out yet?
I have not tried either the beta or the final release.
I recommend moving to it immediately if you're using Firefox 2 still.
Now that it's finally out, I probably will, but I was so angry at Firefox 2 that I didn't want to help them beta test their thing.
Yeah, so it was just so the beta was so much better. I mean, it did crash from time to time, so there were some frustrations that went along with it, and my plugins obviously weren't working, but man, it's just so much better. I mean, a significant memory footprint it has been reduced, and no more leaks, and so
I like what they're doing with the security, where you have the new color-coded sites and how many times you've been there, and they have the new rendering engine for text, and
yep.
all that stuff.
And it's a little more integrated with each OS. So
right.
the Mac version looks like it's on a Mac, and on Vista, the same deal.
We'll see if it looks very Arrow-ish with my Vista.
Yeah. Mr. Vista.
Yeah.
The only negative I have to say about it is they have this new thing, and I think even IE8's going to have this when it comes out, where if you're going browsing to a HTTPS site, you get this error page if it's not a signed certificate, which is 90% of the HTTPS stuff I see is non-signed.
Yeah.
You get this error page that looks pretty close to a 404 error. Mm. And if you are, you know, just the average user.
Oh, site's down.
Yeah. my wife was trying to do her time card from home, and she thought that their site was down. Because you have to add an exception for non-signed secure pages.
Right.
Which I understand that's a security risk, and everybody's moving towards this, and it's a big deal. It's, you know, people are all of a sudden worried about it when they weren't before. But they should make it much more obvious what's going on.
Right. Well, and like corporate sites and stuff like that, like my company's time card site pops up this big error about signed certificate.
Oh, yeah.
A, fix it. Thanks.
Right.
You know, and then B, yeah, it should be more obvious that, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a 404.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, you know, Firefox 3, two thumbs up from me.
Yeah. I'll probably download it tonight or tomorrow. Give it a shot.
So do you remember, I think we've talked about this in the past, the FCC, their broadband metrics, for years now, they've been saying that broadband is 200 kilobits per second. They finally changed that this week. So now they're calling 200 kilobits per second up to 768. First generation data and basic broadband is 768 to 1.5 megabit. Mm. Which is a little more reasonable.
Yeah.
It's more in line with what everyone else in the world calls broadband.
Right.
The funny thing, I mean, and they kind of make fun of themselves when they made this announcement. The commissioner said, you know, talked about how it was kind of a running joke that we called broadband 200 kilobits.
Right.
But then in the same announcement, they talked about how proud she was of how she's increased the broadband penetration in the U.S., but that was still using the old number. So it's like they can't get it straight.
So they have spread the bad tubes throughout the countryside.
Right.
And they're proud of that.
Yeah. They're proud that 200 kilobits per second. Yeah. I mean,
that is great for 1999.
Right.
You know, but it's not great yeah. today.
Yeah, so at least they've updated it, you know, from here on out. Their numbers are supposed to match up, but it's just kind of humorous that they just can't do it. They can't move on.
Now we're in a situation in suburban areas where you have, you know, the one phone company, the one cable company. They have, you know, no other competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically they're just competing with each other, and they only have to be... I guess it's almost like a battle for last place. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
they're not trying to be the best. They're just trying to be a little less sucky than the other guy.
Right.
And that's all they have to do to try to get your business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, we're only down 80% of the time. They're down 82% of the time. Right. So you should sign up with us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is, and they act like they're doing you this huge favor, mm-hmm. but it's just, it's so bad. I just hate cable.
Well, and then now they're messing with caps again.
Right.
I mean, I thought we were done with this.
No.
And I guess, you know, in Beaumont, Texas, they're testing it with Time Warner. They're testing broad. I mean, it's a big cap, but why do you need a cap?
Well, I don't know. They're gonna nickel and dime us into. Well, I would hope they would think, at least in their head, that they were going to nickel and dime us into paying for their upgrades, like for the last
right.
mile stuff to really
yeah.
get us something fast. But I'm afraid they're just going to nickel and dime us and not give us anything else.
Right. Well, I mean, that's historically what companies like AT&T have done. You know, they're finally moving on. But
so if I was an active citizen and had the motivation, I would like do like a giant grassroots campaign in that town, you know, to
right.
change. So it's Comcast, right?
I think it's actually Time Warner.
It's Time Warner.
Comcast is doing it as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where their testing is.
I would do a giant grassroots campaign for the week they start that to basically go door to door and offer to help people quit their cable and right. go to DSL.
Like start your own internet company, buy a T1 line and buy some wireless equipment and start spamming the world.
Yeah, but just to make a point that
I know what you mean.
If you do this, we will all jump ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the phone company does it too, then we will all just read books. You know, we'll just go to the library and look it up.
And we keep waiting for companies like Sprint has been talking about their WiMAX network for what, 10 years now, it seems like.
You know what? I've been hearing about WiMAX since like the Carter administration. And where is WiMAX? It is nowhere.
I don't know. Apparently Sprint and some other company have teamed up now. Their WiMAX networks are now combined and they're ready to start some rollout. And we've got, all the buzz about the open access wireless that we're going to see on the new channels that opened up when digital TV is finally here.
Yeah.
But
I just, one day I'll leave work and I'll get into my flying car and right. I'll come home and I'll log onto my WiMAX and I'll play Duke Nukem Forever.
That sums it up right there.
That is when it will happen.
That's nice.
Okay. And following in my irritable theme, there's an article that I'll link to in today's show notes. It's basically titled "No, I Will Not Fix Your Computer," and it's over on brewwaha.com. And it's kind of just a short essay on here are the reasons why your company IT guy won't fix your computer on the weekend, if you work with him. And they talk about things like, don't ask your company IT guy whether you should get this new gaming graphics card, because your company IT guy is working with standardized hardware and, he is probably the expert on a system that either he specced out or a system that he supports. And, he has hundreds of systems that are all the same and they use one graphics card. Mm-hmm. I mean, ask him about that graphics card,
right.
But you're not asking a professional game player in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about other things too, and about how, a professional IT person, most of us don't go home and tinker with PCs all weekend. When we leave work, we want to do something else. We want to not fix your computer because we just saw you Monday through Friday.
Right. Exactly.
So it's good. There'll be a link in the show notes, but it's a nice thing for you sysadmins out there to forward to your coworkers.
Seriously. So I had an experience just recently, actually, where somebody asked me, and this is someone that I don't work with that often, but I'm friendly with, and he was asking me months ago about how he wanted to upgrade his computer, and he was thinking about moving to 64-bit XP, and I think who I'm talking about.
I don't know. There could be anybody. Anybody that
anyway,
comes to my
office. Anyway, so he's talking. He keeps, he would ask us pretty regularly about this, and I would always tell him, don't move to 64-bit XP. There's not a lot of support for things on it, and there's, you'll run into software that doesn't work on it. And that's not entirely true, but I just didn't want to support it, so that's what I told him.
All right.
Anyway, so he's asking me, he was with me on this field test last week that I was on, and he was regaling his tale to me about how he's having trouble finding a video editing suite for him to use because there's a new version out that's going to be 64-bit capable, but the version that he has doesn't work. And I just looked at him and I said, if you would have just listened to me, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. and finally I just said, just buy a Mac, which is the least helpful thing I could have said, but I felt good about it.
Yeah. And I have guys that come into my office that are asking me, hey, should I go with this AMD or should I do this Intel or should I do this or that?
Mm-hmm.
And they know I don't like them. And then so I'm telling them, oh man, you should get that new AMD. And they're like, really? And so now they think that I'm just steering them purposely in the wrong direction because they know I don't like
right.
them. So they don't know how to take my advice, which is just kind of the way I like it. But I'm just like, sure, do whatever you want. They're like, yeah. Well, what if I just use a shoebox with a rat in it for my CPU? Hey, that'll work too, man. Whatever you want to do.
That's right. As long as you have two rats, so it's binary, then you're all right.
Yeah, yeah. Dual core.
That's good stuff. So speaking of dual core, that's a nice segue, right?
Mm.
WWDC was last week, last week, and some news came out about the next version of OS X, and I found this actually to be quite interesting, that the next version, which they're calling snow leopard, which is a retarded name. But anyway, they're basically not going to overhaul anything on the front end this next version. It's going to be all back end upgrades. And there's actually a lot of good information. I'm not going to go into detail on everything, but one of the cool things they're doing is on the back end, there's this software they're calling Grand Central. It's called Grand Central. So
okay.
Now that I've got that up, Grand Central is basically this is a pretty cool concept. Whether it actually works or not, we'll see. But the idea is that they're going to take the idea of processes and treat it more like a network, where the OS will handle it like a switch handles network packets, and it's going to break the processes up and route it to whatever CPU is available. So, you know, right now with Vista and XPE and OS X, unless your app is dual core aware, multiprocessor aware, it's not really going to take advantage of multiprocessor environments. And this is kind of designed to take that out of the developer's hands and do it for them. It's pretty interesting. And, you know, there's not a lot of details about it, but I like the idea. And they're doing a lot of things like that. They're releasing something called OpenCL, which is a takeoff OpenGL that will let processes bounce between the GPU and the CPU kind of dynamically.
Right.
That's not entirely accurate, but that's a good way to summarize it. So a lot of back end things. They did a lot of back end in Leopard, but even more for this next version. And supposedly it'll be out within a year. So I like where they're going with it, and I think this is a good sign. Oh, the other big thing, Exchange support built into the OS. So like Mail and iCal and Address Book will all be able to tie into Exchange out of the box.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty cool for someone like me who works in an Exchange environment.
Does it feel like they're doing this for business support stuff? Exchange. Is that kind of the direction that
I'm reading about this and how they're saying, you know, we're not updating anything on the front end, and it almost feels like something you would hear from Microsoft,
right?
Where it's all back end, it's all efficiency, and that's the part of Microsoft I like,
right?
And so it's good to see them kind of learning from that and taking that cue. So I'm looking forward to it.
Gotcha.
Should be pretty good.
Interesting. That'll be out 2 years ahead of Windows 7.
Yes.
So
right. Yeah, they didn't talk anything about touch being built in, which I'm kind of surprised. They are taking a lot of cues from iPhone with this next version. Some of the back-end stuff they're actually pulling from the iPhone team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Windows 7, they had that recent thing about it's going to have touch built in.
Right.
Not sure why they're not talking about it for Leopard, but maybe they don't think it's necessary on a desktop.
A lot of people have mixed feelings about that. I mean, do you want to touch your monitor all day?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I don't mind that as like a secondary interface, but I don't know, maybe I'm just too old school, but it seems like the mouse and keyboard is pretty efficient.
What I would rather have is like a giant mouse pad, you know,
right.
Let me throw away my mouse and just use my finger on like a mouse pad next to my keyboard.
Right. Like the gigantic touchpad on the new Mac.
Right. Right.
Where yeah, you can actually use three fingers at once and do all that.
Right. But if I have like fingerprints all over my screen, I'm going to be insane.
Right.
You know, so but that's me though.
I'm already worried about the fingerprints that I'm going to have on my iPhone that I'm not going to have for another 3 weeks. So it's like, that's not good if I'm already thinking about that.
Yeah.
But anyway. The other interesting thing that came out of WWDC is this new MobileMe software suite, which is kind of a replacement for .Mac. And I don't really want to talk about that, but what's very cool about it is that it's all built on JavaScript. And one of the things that's come out this week is that they're using a backend called Sprout Core that apparently they've put a lot of time and money into, but it's not their thing. It's actually an open licensed piece of framework, JavaScript framework, that is released under the MIT license, so it's pretty wide open for use, pretty much open source. And what's crazy about it is that, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of the videos on this, but it looks like they took iPhoto and put it on the web. I mean, it looks like the stuff you see with Flash or with Silverlight or, you know, some of the new... what is the new Adobe thing that's on the desktop? Adobe Air.
Air, yeah.
it looks that good, but is all JavaScript. And what's great about this Sprout Core suite is that it's kind of like an updated Ajax almost. And it's still using Ajax, but the idea behind it is that you build a thick client in the browser so that it actually only interacts with the server via Ajax when it needs to, which speeds up these types of web apps significantly on the client side, and also allows developers to create really rich applications that look identical to their desktop counterparts, which is exactly what I've always wanted. I mean, this is what I've talked about, how let's create a web app and let's create a desktop app and have those interact with the same data and make it awesome. And that's, you know, it's not quite what this is, but it's a pretty cool, if you're into developing web apps, I highly recommend checking out Sprout Core. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's independent from Apple, but Apple has put a lot of their work back into it and sent it back to the developers of this framework. And I guess it's sort of, to use it, you have to have Ruby on Rails running on your desktop that you're developing on, but you don't need it on the server side once you release it.
So. Right.
Pretty cool. They've got some demos on their site that are just amazing. And it really looks, it almost feels like a new programming language when I looked at the documentation, but still is based on JavaScript. So I don't know. I'm not a developer, but pretty impressive stuff.
So who would you say that benefits the most? Is this help developers the most, or is this going to grease the wheels for users to get dynamic content?
I would say it helps both. It helps developers be free to use standard technologies instead of being tied into something like Flash, where you're kind of at the mercy of the creator of that environment. And it allows users to have very rich applications that they're already familiar with, but in the web space. And I would say probably most of it's for developers, but obviously users will benefit from it as well, because the experience is just going to be that much better.
Right. Interesting.
All right, everyone, that's going to wrap up this show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to our little show we have here. And if you are interested in any of the stories we talked about today, please go to angryadmins.com and check out the show notes. We will have those up when this episode is released. So go check those out, look into some of the things we talked about. And if you want to give us any feedback on those stories or have advice or anything else, send those to feedback@angryadmins.com. And until next time, you can follow me, as always, on twitter.com/BIBZ. And until next week, I'm Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
Day Angry.